Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weavesday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Welcome to Weavesday Wednesday, everybody. Woo!
Belle, how are you?
Cannabis Kid.
We got a live studio audience in here today.
We have lots of live studio audiences in here today. Thank God they're live, because our show almost wasn't. We were having all sorts of technical difficulties, and maybe that's Tech Guy saying hi again. Hi, Tech Guy. Oh, my word.
You got Space Royalty over here.
Space Queen, Space King, and Izzy's back. Look out. Izzy's back.
Oh. Fun time.
Fun time. We've got a good show. We have an awesome show today. Kevin Gassman's on this morning.
Woohoo!
I don't know if you all know, but he's got a radio show up in Phoenix, in the East Valley that he does, and he's got a 420 minute.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about pop shop and initiatives and what's going on in the world and in the 420 world.
Which I think it's really important, you know.
Very important.
You know, a lot of people don't get that information on a regular basis, or even the correct information, at that matter. So it's good that there's someone out there, putting it out on the waves of the radio to get it out there to the regular listeners that he's probably got.
Yeah, on the real radio. He's got a real radio show. So if you have a car and you're in it, you can actually listen. And you know what? Well, you have to say that. You have to take that with a grain of salt out here. Some people don't have cars here. They use their bicycles or they use public transit when it's available.
But you don't need a car to listen to the radio.
Well, most people don't have radios like we do either. I mean, they don't have our little... We actually plugged in our radio this morning.
We did?
It's right there.
Oh, that's right. We did.
Yeah, we did. It's right there. Most people don't have that. Oh, well, we got marijuana. What do you guys got out there this morning?
What do we not have?
Good morning, marijuana.
That's what I was doing.
We're on to the blogging. If anybody wants to blog in, you may do so at, well, you can check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, and there's a radio link there, and it'll take you right to our show. We are also, for my bestie, in the process of updating our iTunes.
That's going to be so handy.
You can get most all our old shows on iTunes right now, but if you want to get up to date, wait a week. Hopefully, it won't be longer than that before.
New show.
Yeah. So, what's going on in the world? Come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Come get certified. We had a little credit card glitch the other day, so... To pay for the fees for our fair share, it's cash only. But if you want to pay for the for the state fee, which is $150, you can use your debit card, your Visa or Master debit card. But when you come to get certified at Tumbleweeds for the next couple of days, bring a wad of cash, and we'll get you certified. And we apologize for that silly machine. So what else we got going on in the news today? Let's check it out. Did I get to... No. See, it's been really weird. Everything's... I can't even post on my website right now. For 2 weeks, I haven't been able to post my news stories, and it's upsetting because I like to do that.
Huh.
I like my news stories.
I know you do.
Yeah. I love to do that.
It's enjoyable to have those on, especially on the Tumbleweeds website.
Oh, it's so important. We've got to know what's going on, so let's check it out. We like to get our news from azmarijuana.com, a couple of other sources. But we like them. They've got some great stuff, so let's check it out. We also go to our Facebook page because you hit that home button, and everyone's blasting about marijuana these days. We've got a little what's the difference between indica and sativa and cannabis law reform, seven parts of the human body and how they benefit from cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a good one. and then we've got all sorts of stuff going on. It says, this has got, oh, wait, it says someone dies from marijuana use every 19 minutes in the U.S. Oh, wait, never mind. Those states are for the FDA.
Those stats
are for the FDA-approved prescription drugs. Oops. There has actually never been a recorded instance of a death from marijuana, so it makes perfect sense that it is illegal, especially industrialized hemp that cannot get you high. Thanks, fascist state, for keeping us safe from the horrid ills of hemp, like, you know, renewable sources of paper, building materials, medicine, food, fuel, clothing. I mean, the list goes on and on. I love that. Thanks, fascist state. That sounds like something our Monkey Boy buddy would have said.
Yeah, this is a nice sarcastic tone to what is really happening here, and actually following the money and seeing why this plant is being held up in some of these legal ways. It's really until people can get their ducks in the row and actually be able to get in on some of this money, because it did come along fast. But it was a long time coming. But I think there were some people out there that weren't ever going to let this happen.
Yeah, speaking of money, I read the other day that the family of the creator of OxyContin has received $14 billion in revenue
for
creating OxyContin, one of the most deadliest substances in America.
$14 billion,
Mm-hmm. Now they want to give it to kids.
Giving it to children. That's
OxyContin for kids was just approved.
And that's when we say, what about the baby?
FDA approved.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Somebody's got to be paying off somebody at the FDA.
Oh, yeah.
Paying off people
more,
everywhere.
Even moral. Think about it morally. This is not right.
No.
To give children a prescription drug like that, mm-hmm. considering how many deaths it could, you know.
Liver failure?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean,
it kills millions of adults.
Right.
Every year.
Right.
This is what really scares me. I mean, I
children, you know?
I was watching a...
They're going to hook them. They're going to get addicted and get really sick and die.
Okay. They're saying that cannabis is a gateway drug? Well, there you go. You just now opened up Pandora's box.
Exactly. And I think it might cause a lot more issues as that said, you know, young individual starts growing in adulthood. You know, mm-hmm. it might cause some problems that they wouldn't normally have if they weren't taking OxyContin their whole life.
Yes, hello.
From age 11.
So when did you start your Oxy? Oh, 11. Oh.
Yeah. What kind of side effects does
mine
it have?
I started mine at 9. Beat you. Like, come on. I can hear these kids in class. Do our Oxys on their break.
My generation people around my age are the ones that have never had a clear thought since the age of 4.
This is true. And why do you think that is? That's a very interesting statement from your generation.
Generation.
Tell us.
Well, I'm the after generation. Generation
thumb.
I'm after generation. Generation X is the one
where they introduced
all the pills and everything and started spreading them across the board. It was when everyone started realizing that, I can fix my children by giving them Ritalin.
Yeah.
Or any other thing. And now it's Oxy, so they're going to get a... cocktail. We're gonna get Ritalin Oxy cocktail.
Good old fashioned yard tours to solve that problem.
Of it. Now that the,
right?
Now that big pharma is only offended by how many. I need to look at the statistics, but I know it's
a high amount.
Since the late 80s.
I saw a cartoon the other day. It was two people. It was a big pharma at one end of the table, and it was the cannabis. Group at the other end, and there was a guy in the middle, and he had asked the question. It says, "What we need to keep it away from the children," and the big pharma guy goes, "We like to promote to children," and cannabis on this says, "Is we want to keep it away from the children," and it was these two sides showing exactly what we're talking about this morning. Just incredible. I don't see why the such a large push. And right now during this time, during the cannabis movement, is like these, it's like these two sides.
Yeah.
You have this plant that has been doing wonders
right.
in the medical world.
Right.
That have been, you know, helping children with horrible seizures and epilepsy.
Nausea. All sorts of things.
Everything.
Yeah.
And not even smoking it. We're
right.
talking about giving them it in a tincture, which
capsules,
codeine,
lotion,
is in,
balm,
right.
things like that. They can get in.
Easy, simple.
Yeah.
It's not, it's just, it boggles my mind that.
Yeah.
It's bluntly happening. I mean,
it is.
Blatantly happening, sorry.
And bluntly.
Bluntly happening.
Bluntly.
Yep.
It's just there.
Right in
it's
front of
there.
Us, and there's people going, they're trying to keep this plant, and then this is just being circulated right back out
yeah.
from Big Pharma.
That's true. You watch.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the
yeah.
cashola.
All about the money.
And they're profiting on our babies, people.
They are profiting. Well, let's do this. Why don't we do this? Let's call Kevin. Let's call Kevin. Let's see what he's up to this morning. I know, we're excited. Let's just call him. And let's see if this works. If this doesn't work, Kevin, we're going to have you call up. But we're dialing. Let's see if we got you going on here. Sometimes our little dial-out doesn't work. We might have you call us.
Hello?
Oh, welcome
Kevin.
To Weed Day Wednesday.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning. Good weed morning. How are you doing?
Good
yeah,
weed morning.
It's an excellent weed morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I did my little wake and bake and did my little exercise, and now I'm ready to talk to you guys.
Right
nice.
On.
Awesome.
What did you wake and bake with? We have to know.
You know what? It's funny because I've been out of medicine for a little bit, and I do have a card on me, you know, so it's legit with me. Let me go on that level. But I've been out of it for a little bit, and I was searching all my stuff, like what I have left, what I can scrounge left, and I found a little grinder I had, which is a little bit of leftover. So I have no idea what it is, but I was so happy to see it. You know that moment? You're just like, oh, my God, I have some.
Yep,
uh-huh.
Exactly. You don't care what it is. It just happens.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But it's an upper for sure. I always smoke sativas.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Oh.
So nice and heady
the
morning.
I love
it.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
To me, it makes me focused.
Huh.
Ah.
Yeah.
And probably very creative for you as well, I would assume.
Yeah, it's extremely. My friend used to call it a creative fire. So, yeah, every time I'll medicate, you know, it helps me just really just... expand on my ideas already that I have.
Oh, that's awesome. Actually, it sounds like it gives you a bit of confidence.
Yeah, you know, it's, yeah. Well, I do
yeah.
comedy, too, so a lot of my material, sometimes I'll write some jokes down, and then, you know, it's after you smoke, you go over your material again, and you're like, oh, yeah, I can maybe say it this way or add this to it or, you know, change it up a little bit.
Absolutely. I was watching a bit of your comedy last night, so we're going to have you bust out some jokes here. But how long have you been using the cannabis?
Well, I mean, there's no cops listening, right? I was 12 years old. I was 12 when I first got that stone.
Wow. Wow. Wow, we have another one here who was 12. I was almost 21. I was one of those, like, no, it's bad for you. Little did I know.
It's funny. Yeah, no, that's the funny thing is I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was about 30 when he first started it, and he had said he was kind of like almost jealous that I had been 12 years old for the first time, because I think it's the mentality of, you know, your youth and your naiveness a little bit, getting you, and then really learning what it is as you go, as opposed to being older and being told what it does to you, then you smoke it, and then it's like, you know, you have different expectations.
Was it really psychoactive for you at 12?
Well, the very first time I really didn't know I was stoned. My friend did notice, though. But for the most part, I was very hyper. I was very paranoid.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I was hyper and paranoid. But I think the paranoid, and I think this is, you know, for a lot of people listening and a lot of people who smoke, and, you know, they say that's a side effect and it's a bad side effect that makes people feel uncomfortable. But if you think about it this way, you know, it's still illegal. And I think that element of being illegal hampers on, you know, on that nerve in your head that you're doing something illegal.
Yeah. And that's always going to be there. And until that goes away, I think everyone, whoever really first tries it, is the one that you would just automatically go to and think that that's what's going to happen. You're going to get busted. It's going to be a bad thing. You know,
right.
Even now for patients getting their card and knowing that it's
okay.
a legal thing and
right.
here in the state, and if they just abide by the rules, it'll be okay if they ever got pulled over. It's still a fear. They're going to jail.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's ridiculous, right. And, you know, pretty soon there's going to be a generation of kids that don't have to worry about them, and I'm going to hate every single one of them.
I know. We're going to be so mad. They're going to be like, you did what to get weed? You're like, you have no idea.
Right.
No idea the streets I've walked and the people I've met.
You'll know the struggle.
Oh, man.
It's funny because I've been involved in actually the cannabis movement since 2009, and you know it's the education that's lacking, obviously, and it's this fear of the unknown of places where we haven't gone to and since 1937 basically, because everything prior to that, everything was fine, everything was good until some people decided to change it and you know we've been living under this prohibition ever since. So it's interesting to know that, you know, the tide is changing in our favor. It's just I just wish we can kind of rip the Band-Aid off and just make it happen as opposed to going through all these loops and, you know, litmus tests, I guess.
Out, man. It's ridiculous.
It,
you know, we're
it
very
is.
Grateful that we have the programs that we do, but, yeah, we need to rip the Band-Aid off. This is fun. This is going really well. I want to ask another question. You said something because at 12 years old, or actually, you said cannabis helps you focus. And I really feel like I was that 70s ADD poster child. And had I had something like this, I probably would have been able to sit through school a lot better and actually learn something, because I'm learning everything now. Now I'm mad.
Well, that's...
But the focus part of cannabis is not what people usually... They think cannabis, oh, you're stupid, and you sit on a couch and you watch TV.
Right. But that's the stereotype that needs to change because, you know, that's just what everybody points a finger on marijuana users as. I mean, it's the Cheech and Chong thing, and God bless them. I love them, everything. But they were the impression people had of people smoking marijuana.
Yeah.
And everyone who looks at that and thinks you're just another Cheech and Chong, and that's, you know, fine for a few people. They relish in it, you know, but for the most part, you know, we're all functioning adults. We're doing our thing every day. We just need a little bit of this to get us through the day as someone to pop a couple Advils or maybe have a couple glasses of wine or have your six-pack after work.
Mm-hmm. And you should have that choice, and it shouldn't be an alternative. It should just be a choice. The choice should be out there for you. It's your body.
Right.
You should be able to just...
Well, of course, yeah.
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 No judgment.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'll wait for you. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to ask about your radio show that you have. You do a 420 minute. Are you doing that basically just to work on the initiative that's going on right now? Let's talk about that a little bit. That's a really hot topic.
It's a very hot topic out here. I mean, you guys out in Tucson, I think you guys have your act together, it seems like, because I think more than the you guys out there that kind of helped us push 203 over the top, if I'm not mistaken.
Right on. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I mean, it's pretty fragmented in Phoenix, unfortunately, and you know there's three or four different groups, you know, applying for the legalization card. So it's very confusing at the moment. So who do you sign up for? Who do you do this with? So on my show, which airs every day, I do the Marijuana Minute. So I just keep people up to date on the news and notes of what's going on. As I've met AZMR. Jason Medars, I met him before.
Yeah.
We'll get him on the show talking about the legalization. But my main concern on the MPP is that there's too many felonies in their legalization bill, which seems to contradict. And there shouldn't be the word felony anywhere where you have to legalize something. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
Amen to that.
It just, it doesn't make sense.
What's the point of legalizing it? There's still a felony attached to it.
Right. And, you know, and I'm finding out that there's businesses out there that are businesses. I would say the owners or the people who are pushing this, these initiatives are maybe law enforcement people, people that want to keep people in jail. You know, and that's it's they're going to lose their cash cow. You know, this is their something that they can rely on.
Privatized prisons.
Yeah, you know? It's a big
right.
Cow.
Exactly, it's disgusting. Yeah. You know, and the fact that that the people like that are still in charge, the tide is turning, and I think the mentality is finally almost there where those people and everyone is going to be just fed up with this and going, what? In California, they built 22 private prisons at one college.
Oh Lord, I know, I saw that.
Oh my
statistic.
Gosh,
is that
gives
not
me
the
chills.
Most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
Yeah, it was a meme, so it must be true. But I'm just saying so. But it's true.
Exactly.
It's disgusting. It's that's twisted. True. It's weird. And you know, I mean, maybe it's the hippie in me, but you know, we need more love coming from our leaders.
Yeah, it's the human being you and Kevin. It's the human being you.
Thank you. It is a human being in me, right.
You're welcome. Everyone should know that.
You're
human,
right?
You're human. I mean, that's
maybe.
What I'm worried about, that there's not enough humans.
Yeah.
It's also a good thing that this isn't the first time that this has happened, because now we have examples like Colorado and Washington where we can say, hey, this isn't the first time people have tried to make an initiative that gets you in a trap. This isn't the first time the wrong people are trying to get to the mark first to say, hey, this is how the laws are going to be from now on, so that
right.
other people don't do it and do it so that it's more conscious of the patient as opposed to the conscious of the money makers and the taxes that are going to be made from it.
Right. Well, no, that's a good point. But if you just think about it, I mean, why convolute a legal thing? It makes no sense whatsoever. Make it legal. You can grow it. If you want to sell it, fine. Who cares? That's just what it is. They're trying to, like, eventually it's going to be that way, but it's like we have to abide by their rules just to appease them, just so we can prove to them that it's really not as bad as they say it is.
Got to question authority.
All the time. Maybe that's when I was 12 years old and I got high. I questioned authority a lot. Maybe that was the reason why I got a 1.6 GPA when I graduated high school.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't
know. Well, it doesn't, you know, intelligence
I don't think our school system is anything to base
anything
off of.
At all.
Well, I'm not going to, this is high school. I mean, I went to college. I got my degree. I graduated with over 3.0. So, I mean, it's all on what you want to put into it and get out of it. I just hated school, and I hated authority at the time. I just, the way I was, I rebelled. I proved those teachers right.
Yeah. But look at you now, and look what you do, and, I mean.
And what you've done.
And what you've done and where you've been. So, I mean.
Hey.
You've definitely come along.
It's funny you talk about the school systems, because I read the other day that kids are really, really stressed about these tests that they have to take nowadays at schools, especially this test that was upcoming here in Arizona. And it's funny because a lot of these kids that are the ones that end up getting prescribed these pills and everything that could be totally averted. And they're the ones that become the cases that lead to, oh, here are all these pills. And it becomes that trail that starts with putting the kids in the classroom, and it ends with them just exploiting the pill system, when we could be totally avoiding that and saying, hey, it's the schools and it's what we have going on, and not marijuana that is being prescribed to kids for some fallacy that people are coming up with, saying that this is what's going to happen with marijuana once it becomes legalized.
Huh.
Yeah, let's just give our kids Oxy instead, right?
Yeah, but everything is, you know... I mean, you're trying to legalize something, and everyone's saying, no, don't legalize it because this is going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. It's never been done in our time. And I don't know how that would affect the kids. I think if you look at it, I think if it's more relevant or prevalent, I should say, the kids won't do it. I mean, it seems to be proven in Europe and some of the countries that they legalized in. And we'll look at Uruguay's makeup maybe in about a year after they've gone fully legalized and see how it's done to the kids there. I mean, if we're so concerned about the kids, why are, you know, they on Adderall? Why are they on, you know, all these, you know, antidepressants and, you know, focus drugs, but that's okay, you know? Like you talked about earlier in the show, they're being approved for OxyContin. It's like, what the hell is going on here? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Who's in charge?
I know.
Who's in charge?
That's just weird that that came out right now after all these CBD approvals for kids and the hemp oils and things that people are so focused on that they would go, oh, wait a minute, let's get the prescriptions in on the kid thing here. That's a good idea, marijuana people. Let's do this too. So, you know,
well, the thing is you're going to find that the pharmaceutical companies are going to get desperate and they're going to sound like assholes. Can I say that? Sorry.
Yeah.
But they're gonna sound like it because they're gonna get desperate to get their people hooked back on their drugs. When we're gonna be like, no, we already have it covered. We got this. It's safer. It's better for you, and we don't need you. And then eventually, I think the American public would and should rise up against the pharmaceuticals and say, no more. We're not buying into your BS.
It's sad though because they know that until that happens, there's so many Americans, so many parents that will just go, you know, we should probably just take the Oxy for kids because we don't know about this marijuana thing. You know, so there's still going to be a lot of that happening. And the pharmacies, I think, are catching on to this and going, hey, let's do this
right now.
Yeah,
well, again, that's – well, for – yeah, education, though, is what it comes down to. You know, and, you know, we know someone who's educating the seniors, but we do need to educate new parents. You know, I think if you're a new parent, there should be classes. I mean, no one's going to teach you how to be a parent,
right?
But, I mean, you need to be aware. I mean, like, I was 12 years old smoking pot. I mean, I don't think that's the right way to go. Let's just be honest. So
right.
I'm not encouraging anyone who's 12 to go, I'm going to get high because he did. It's not right. It screwed my life up for because, you know, when you start thinking about things and you're a 12-year-old, yeah, you know, it's better to think about that when you're a little bit older. To be more introspect, I guess. I think 12 is more just play in the street and throw sticks and whatever. But,
right, catch lizards.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and here I am, the deep thinker at 12 probably, you know. Going,
yeah.
I don't need school. School, screw school, you know. But it's not a good idea for obviously kids to be, you know, to smoke it. But people need to be aware of it and need to know that it's not going to ruin your life.
Right.
The laws are going to ruin your life.
Right, absolutely. The jails,
sure.
People, the felonies for stupid offenses are going to ruin your life.
Protected
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah,
in talking about the initiative, what's the best part of the initiatives that you like, and what's the most appalling thing that you're finding here?
Okay, well, I don't know the initiative back to back. I don't know it 100%, but the gist of it, what I like mostly is the fact that I can grow my own.
Yeah.
Which we completely dropped the ball in 2003 on that one. That it was so mind-numbing to me why we weren't able to grow our own on medical cannabis was just I didn't get it. It doesn't make any sense. What's appalling to me, for at least for the MPP idea, is that you can only go 6 plants, and a 7th plant is the felony.
Right.
And I don't know if that means that if I got 6 plants and they come in and search me and they find a seed, does that mean I have 7 plants and now I'm going to jail for that forever? So
that's what that means.
Man, why put that in there? Why is that in there? And why are they pushing their agenda to be the agenda, the initiative? And we're all going to get screwed.
It's still supporting the police who are going to get these, you know, forfeitures because they're arresting people, but not really. So
right.
They're taking cash, their cars, their houses. So it's still going to go for them. It's still
supporting
them.
Well, that stuff too.
Dispensaries.
Okay, but civil forfeitures is becoming more in the limelight, which is great. So I think we're gonna start seeing less of that. I hope. Because it's being more exposed. I really do think we'll be more of a crackdown. I mean, look, logic and reason has to win over what we're dealing with these days. And the NPP and their felonies and their legalization bill needs to go. And, you know, and I'm going to have the NPP on my radio show, and I'll talk to them about that. This is bullshit. This is unacceptable. This is, I mean, look, I don't care if you do 100 plants or more. Like, I can't do 100 plants. If you're doing 100 plants, that's fine. Do your thing. If there's some reason why you got 100 plants, I don't know. But I only need 6. I'm good with 6. You know, want me to get to 12? Great, I'll do 12. But
right. Don't
make it a felony, and no one should go to jail for a plant, as, you know, the famous saying goes.
Right.
And if you actually do read the initiatives, you can tell which one is written by the people who have actually tried marijuana, just by the language that's used in the Bills. The one the Arizona AZFMR is the one where you read it and it says a seed isn't considered a plant. Specifically, it says if this isn't going to be considered a plant, it specifically says there has to be so and so many dispensaries if there's going to be this many alcohol licenses. And it goes so far as to say, you know, it has language, extra added language that they know that has to be clear and protective in order for people to be protected and not coerced by the constructive language of the law that you see in the MPP.
Absolutely right. I mean, that's it right there. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if it's too late to change MPP's initiative or not. I will definitely grill him and I will find out what the hell's going on. Because, again, this is unacceptable, and people need to know that, you know, which initiative they're signing for, which is important. But yet again, it's confusing. There's three or four people putting together initiatives out here. Like, why can't we just all get along?
Exactly. Well,
I don't.
Exactly.
It's so fragmented.
It is, and it's hard to hear the support that the dispensaries are giving for the MPP. Initiative, it just puts a bad taste in your mouth for dispensaries at that point, you know, because it's almost as if they want to see everybody fail as well, you know?
Yeah, I'm a fan of dispensaries, and dispensaries will never go away, and they shouldn't go away because it's fast food, basically, for people. Personally, you know, I have to wait the 6 months to grow my plant, or however, you know, and in the meantime, I'll be using a dispensary.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as these dispensaries are not for profit and for medical patients, I'm gonna strike up a storm because I know there's a lot of especially elderly folks that aren't gonna know any better, and that are gonna be exploited for their money because they think they have no other option.
Right, then to pay $125 for an eighth, like come on, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
What's wrong with that? I just paid that last week. That's bad.
As long as you're buying, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
right?
You know. the seniors should be growing their own garden, you know, and that's where you
should be juicing. Yeah, they should be growing
right next
and,
to the tomatoes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Their little tomato garden, their little pot garden
with their kale.
Right.
That's right.
And it should grow wild, and it should be because eventually there's going to be a time on this planet. Maybe it's, you know, 100 years from now, maybe it's sooner. I don't know, where marijuana is going to grow everywhere, and if you want a bud, you pluck it off it, and you know. Smoke it if you wanted to. I'd probably wait till it dries, but you know.
Or juice it along the way.
Crazy idea.
Right, exactly. But I mean, it grows. It's free. You shouldn't have to. It's like, I don't know. It's like paying for an apple. You know, like I can grow my own apple tree, but I don't want to.
I have so many nugs on my plant. Come and pick some off, like you would a lemon tree, or an apple tree.
Help me trim my tree.
Right, exactly.
The ones growing wild for us, so we know. Are we going to bed? Or are we gonna
maybe
go
we should have like down there on the right are Indica. Is that Indica Street? That's Sativa Avenue over there, and that's Hybrid Boulevard.
Hybrid Highway.
Believe me, I've stone thought golf courses made of weed. All right, so I, you know, I'm all about that.
A golf course made of weed.
That's right.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
A golf?
Yeah.
Yeah, all lined up with weed.
Yeah. We've got a golfer on the line here. You didn't
know.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, you went from golf to radio show. You still golf?
I do golf, yeah. Actually, it's funny, the little story is I grew up in Southern California, and I went to New Mexico State University for a professional golf management program.
Wow, that's a very interesting career choice.
I loved it, but I couldn't handle like accounting or economics, so I ended up flipping majors to broadcast journalism.
Right on.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I've been loving it ever since.
Oh. Well, I know we were talking about dispensaries earlier, but what are some of the nice dispensaries up there in Phoenix in the East Valley?
You want me to call some names?
Sure.
Yeah. Like some that you frequent?
The ones that I go to are more close by my house. There's Park Dispensary, PARC. It's over there in University by the airport. It's a they're all kind of the same size for the most part. But it's a nice one. They got good prices, and I see the prices overall settling down to a nice $10 a gram kind of blanket, which is finally good to see that. Bloom Dispensary is really nice. It's over the other side of the freeway in Phoenix, and packed all the time. They have three windows of checkout people, but only one person works all the time. So that kind of makes it slow. It's usually a long time to be in that one. I like Harvest. Harvest is good. They're really small.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, that one's in a little strip mall. And those are pretty much my main ones that I go to.
And how would you say the meds are up there? I'm guessing, you know.
Are they pre-packed? Do you get to pick out your nugs?
Exactly.
What's going on up there?
Smell. And
yeah, there's one downtown, I think, that does let you pick your, out of the jar. But for the most part, all these that I mentioned are all pre-packed.
Mm-hmm. And are they coming out? Are they okay? Because usually we hear pre-packed meds are real dry.
Sometimes it just depends, I guess. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to complain for what it is. But yeah, it's not super spongy usually. It's not usually soft. Sometimes it's a little more on the back end of getting dry. Sometimes you got to watch out for pre-rolls. Sometimes they're not really fine grained. There's a lot of sticks in them, stems in them. Sometimes you find some stems in the pre-rolls. Bags of shake. 'Cause I'm a cheap ass. I'll just go just give me a bag of shake, 3 grams for $20. I think Bloom does a special like that. But occasionally you find a bunch of little stems in there. It's just really not super like what you would expect. I want fine quality no matter where I go.
Yeah.
It should be fine quality everywhere. You don't have to pick sticks and stems or fine seeds, and especially when it's the shake product.
Right.
It's funny that you mentioned the sticks and stems, because as the medical marijuana wall states, what's considered marijuana is not sticks and seeds, and that's going towards your weight. They should be considering the sticks and seeds towards your weight, because you're getting so-and-so grams of marijuana towards your limit of what you can have, and that's including the accumulation of 2 grams, 3 grams of sticks and
stems.
Right.
And seeds and all that.
Right.
And that isn't marijuana, and they're counting that towards the price, and they're counting that towards the weight.
And that's what bothers me sometimes when I'll get a prepackaged eighth in a bag, and this one bud's got this big thick stick in there, what do you do? I mean, do you take them off their do you break the nugs up and put that in the bag, and that's what you sell? I mean, then it's back down to being shake and not nugs.
Oh man,
you're in a hard predicament.
I don't know.
Oh, the dilemma.
You're getting the discount for what it is.
Well, you're right. 3 grams for $20. I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's disappointing when I go.
Three pure grams, not 2 grams and stems and seeds, because, like Izzy said, that's counting towards your 2.5 ounces that you can legally have, and that's not okay. And besides the fact you're getting ripped off. And if you go to these places over and over and over, over time, you're going to lose an ounce of weed, and that's not all right.
Yeah, because the law says that's what is considered towards your weight. And if you look at the weight and you actually get 2.5 ounces, and by the dispensary standard, you're going to get at least a few grams of stems, which isn't what the law says.
Right, and that's right, exactly. So that's why I do prefer the shake more than the buds, because I know there shouldn't be any sticks in there.
No. You go down there tomorrow,
you tell them.
Yeah, I'll yelp them instead.
Yeah, I don't need these seeds and stems.
Just kidding.
I saved them over the last year. I'll bring them in. This is what I got from you guys. How can you?
But keep the seeds now, because those are precious.
Well, that's
even
exactly.
If you're sprouting them,
I know.
Little juicy.
Yeah, right.
A few places across the Southwest. I'm just wondering if you personally have noticed different vibes from different places about marijuana and just the general how people feel about it, what the scene is like. Is it you have to hide a little more in other places? Is it a little more free?
I think it's very free. It's very liberal here in Phoenix. I mean, it's no matter where you go, you're smoking. It's I always see someone smoking no matter where I'm going. I know what people need to do to go smoke. You know, they go in their car, they hide out, or you know, they're driving down the road. You see them smoking something. It's just it's all over the place. You know, and then I don't know. It just seems like it's a very few people don't want it. But everyone else is pretty much, all right, let's make it happen.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, that is encouraging. Well, we hope it happens soon, like you said. Rip that Band-Aid off. You know?
Oh, man, they're gently
what I'm talking about.
It's just flying every single hair.
Tell us about some of the edibles you've reviewed.
Yeah, I did the edibles. One that was an 80 milligram. I write a review for edibles for blazed420.com. And it's also a print magazine. You guys should get it out there in Tucson. We'll be distributing it out, I think, this week. I rated a couple of edibles. One was a Tootsie, kind of a Tootsie Roll, cherry Tootsie Roll. And it was 80 milligrams for the roll. And I was advised to go, cut it into quarters and do 20 milligrams per serving. And I was like, okay, but I need to do more. I can't do 20 grams for food. It just doesn't settle for me. So I need at least 100 milligrams, I think. I think I'm trying to decide where my threshold is, and that wasn't there. It just wasn't strong enough. And I for me, feeling the effects and feeling what you want to feel when you eat an edible, it wasn't there for me. But I'll tell you, when you do edibles, you know, always make sure you get instructions from the people who are giving them to you. You should abide by them and then learn on your own where your threshold is with milligrams. For me, it just the way it affects me, I just need 100 or higher.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. That's so important. And we tell new people to just, one or 2 milligrams.
Start off slow.
Yeah.
Start
off slow.
You can always add.
Get it in your system. Yeah. You don't have to be like
you
crazy.
You can always
high.
Add. You can't take
right, away. Right. You can't take away. I mean, believe me, I know this because when I first made my own cookies, I did the oil method. So I put the oil in the pan and then I put my shake in there and I, cooked it for a little while. And I took cookie dough, and I just put it right in that oil, and just started making like little cookie balls out of it, and made made 3 big cookies. So I ate the first one, and then like an hour went by. I knew it had to take a little while, but an hour went by and nothing. I'm like, nothing. This sucks. I hope I didn't waste an eighth of weed. And then I waited another 15 minutes, still nothing. I'm like, well, let me eat the second cookie. So I ate the second. So I ate the second cookie. And still half an hour later, nothing's going on. I'm like, all right, I'm almost 2 hours in, and that first cookie still hasn't kicked in. Obviously, the second cookie isn't going to be working, so let's just have the third one anyway. So, yeah. So I had the third one, and then a little bit later on, I had a Google on the internet, can you die and overdose from marijuana?
Well, it's a typical move. You really have to do it. You go, I just need to know if I've done it. If I've now.
Right.
If I have crossed that threshold.
And you don't want to be the one.
And you don't want
you
to.
You don't want to be that one. Oh, man.
Right.
Well, we're glad you made it through that.
It was pretty, intense. I was by myself. I was listening to Perfect Circle. And, the rest of the night was history. edibles for me, it's a special thing for me. It's not, No, if I really want to eat something in the morning, it'd be functional the rest of the day with it. I'd rather have it be the end of the night type of thing, or go camping somewhere, or make it a fun night where you're home with some friends and having a good time. That's what I would do with edibles.
All right. It's important to know how to do edibles. People just
especially
right.
The heavy ones.
Any of them, and then because people do these things and they overload. Can't overdose, you overload, and then you start blaming, you do stupid stuff, and then it's the weed. And
learn hard lessons.
Yeah,
right.
Hard lessons, but you've got to know your body. You have, it's like taking 4,000 milligrams of ibuprofen when you shouldn't start like that, You don't ever want to
absolutely.
Start that high. You have to go low and slow and know your body, and yeah. We warn people because edibles, especially for people that have never, ever, ever used cannabis, can be really extreme. They can be really harsh. So we say even if you just take a tiny little bite of something and you don't ever feel anything from it, that's okay because it's in your system now, and your system's kind of getting used to the little bit that's in there. Maybe the next time have a little bit of a bigger bite. Mm-hmm. Just baby steps, you know? You got to be careful.
That's great advice, exactly. And that's why maybe one of my next, I'll write that and I'll attribute that to you.
All right. Baby steps, Kevin.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. Awesome.
So we said the recent strain.
Tell us a joke. Come on.
Tell us
a good joke. Do you have any good podcasts?
tell us a joke. All right, we'll get me high then.
Oh, I wish we could do that before.
Dang it.
Get blow
Can we do that through the internet?
That's the next Apple product. They're going to like smell. Apple smell.
It's going to be an
Apple. Right, Apple smell.
Yeah.
I do... I do a bit as I round out my comedy set with things that stoners do. You know, like there's certain things stoners do that are pretty much attributed only to them. Like a stoner that would be driving their car and smell a skunk, they roll the windows down.
Absolutely.
You're so true.
I'll end on that one. If you want more, I can, you know, listen. You can find me online. It's withgas.com is my website, or my show is Driving with Gas, and just Google that and you'll find me online.
Cool.
Driving with Gas. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on this morning and waking up with us. We know it's early. We're glad you got your hit in before you got to us.
No, it's all good. I've appreciated the time. It's been a lot of fun, and continue the conversation, and maybe we'll connect on down the road.
That
Absolutely, and we look forward to listening to your 420 minute and your Blazed reviews and just everything else you got going on. Good luck with MPP and chatting with them. You'll have to keep us posted and let us know what you got going on. We'd love to stay in touch.
I would totally do that.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm really glad to meet you.
Right on, guys. It's a pleasure meeting you guys, and hopefully we'll do it in person soon.
Yes,
Happy
definitely.
Weed Day. Have a great day. Thank you.
Right on. You guys too. Happy Weed Day.
Happy Weed Day. All right, Kevin Gasson.
Awesome.
That was awesome. Driving with Gas. I love that. That's fantastic. All right. What a great guy. We could have done that for like four more hours.
No,
we
I would
to
totally.
Get more jokes in there.
Yeah.
We need more jokes. Way more jokes.
Well, it's.
Yeah, he's good. That was awesome. Yeah, iToke. I love that. Apple smell and iToke coming soon. Trademarked already, guys.
So High Times, Arizona was in High Times
just
recently.
Let's talk about it.
So we're ending drug discrimination, and we're the first ones to start doing it. What did I say?
Drug. We're ending drug job discrimination.
We are ending that.
Can we follow along in our pretty magazine? What page are you on? Because we need, or is it just an online thing? It's an online thing. Because I see your
I think it is an online thing.
This week.
It is.
Speaking of TV.
It is.
Jobs,
it needed to go through an update. I got Windows 10.
You got the 10.
For free. They just sent it to me. It said,
dun, dun, dun,
hey,
yes.
Cannabis kid.
Hey, cannabis kid. We know your cannabis computer needs to run a little
it
more
actually,
smoothly.
It doesn't say cannabis kid.
It says,
one of the major concerns in current marijuana policy is job discrimination faced by those who smoke pot while off the job and do not come to work in an impaired state. In 49 states, Arizona being the only exception, private employers are legally allowed to fire anyone who tests positive for THC in their system, regardless of when the person consumed. While THC remains in the system for days or longer or heavier users, an individual is only impaired for about 90 minutes after smoking. It's only that 90-minute period that should concern the employer, not off-work usage.
Okay, wait. Can I comment on that?
Yeah, totally.
So the 90 minutes that there's impairment, that they're saying, right, that there's intoxication. So there are two different strain types. Kevin prefers sativa, helps him focus, keeps him creative. I prefer indica. It helps with fibromyalgia and back pain and things like that. So this 90-minute period, depending on what you're on, you're going to be differently. You know what I mean?
I agree.
So you can't, it's like, I don't know.
Well,
okay.
Well, there's
well, we
also the people who pop a Ritalin right before they go to work because what?
And during work.
And during work. And people
don't even know
take,
they put it in their Excedrin bottle. They
who
put their
take maybe one Vicodin because it can at least take the edge off throughout the day. It doesn't totally zonk them out. But what is that different from someone taking, like what Kevin said, one of those chewy gummy bears or,
apricot,
you know, 100,
dried
a dried apricot that has 10 milligrams. What is that? You know, what does that mean? What does that say to the OxyContin group that now Vicodin and pain pills and any of the other mind-setting, mood-altering pharmaceuticals.
It's so weird to say, hey, I know you need medication, but for this 8 hours that I need you to do some rigorous activity for my benefit because I need to employ you and you need to do this.
You have to suffer.
You can't take your
medication
that I know
you
need to live on.
That's
to say that's on any medication is just kind of taboo.
Right.
But for the person on any medication, they need to be responsible.
Exactly.
Come on, that's it. That's all we're talking about is responsibility. Mm-hmm. Know your body. Know your impairment. If you're impaired, don't do it or don't go to work. If you're not, if you can take a little bit of something and a little oxy, a little Vicodin, a little marijuana, whatever, and function, and that helps you and helps your pain go away and helps you do your job better, there you go. Who are we to say no?
True.
We just hope that you make a better choice, which we think is cannabis. Marijuana.
There's so many different ways to take it, folks. Just as many ways as you can take any pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
So wrap your head around that one.
Damn.
All right. So private corporations were in.
Oh, I like that. Sorry. I like his touch screen on the PC. I keep it in mind and it doesn't do anything.
Finally, something Bell Style lacks.
From a PC.
Uh-huh. I know.
I love lots of things.
I know. No, I know.
All right, sorry,
I know.
Because
I'm a PC. Sandy. You're an Apple girl.
I am an Apple. Go ahead.
All right.
Private corporations.
Private corporations were encouraged by the federal government to drug test their employees as a way of enforcing anti-marijuana laws. Those who drug test their workers, 80% of all private U.S. employers, seem obvious to the hypocrisy.
Oblivious.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Oblivious to the hypocrisy of allowing workers to get drunk the night before. Well, treading off the job marijuana use in freeable offense, even if it occurred days or weeks earlier.
Yeah. So what they're saying is if you're using cannabis not at work and it still is in your system, they're treating that it
right.
later, weeks later as an offense, and you're in trouble for it.
Right.
This practice was justified by the distinction that marijuana was illegal, while alcohol was not. But now, with changing marijuana policies, attitudes, and the slew of legalization in the majority of U.S. states, that justification is no longer applies. A blog on the Normal website points to another factor driving workplace drug testing, the influence of the drug testing industry, which includes some former drug czars who have crashed in on the drug-free workplace scam. Most private employers are convinced by the drug testing industry that if they do not hire these drug testing companies, they will be losing valuable production by workers who are stoned on the job. Normal referred to this practice as an ignorant and self-defeating policy that no longer had any place in American workplace. Well, the thing with the drug testing companies is it's a scam too. I mean, they found out that, I mean, they're testing, they're just making money. They're testing kids or schools, employees, whatever. I mean, it's just, it's a scam.
Private
it's all money.
I mean, you just look at it and...
It's all a moneymaker.
I don't understand why it's called a drug test. I don't understand why it's called a drug test. They pretty much should just call it a marijuana test because anything else, even beyond alcohol, doesn't really stay in your system that long. Marijuana is the only one that will really stay in your system beyond a week or two. If you were to do cocaine or something like that, it would be out of your system very quickly. So the harsh drugs, the ones that are considered the demonizing ones and that people consider, I don't want someone to come in here. Those are the ones that they're thinking about, but what they're really only really testing for is THC.
Right.
So,
thank you,
Izzy. That cannot be so more true.
We're going to start pointing those 80 segments.
Right.
And
Iggy yep. segment.
Iggy segment.
Oh, now from a now a word from
really
Izzy.
Good point.
No,
and now a point from Izzy.
Okay. Hemp wellness in your body.
You stop it.
I know, you stop it. I can't even handle it. I like pictures. This one popped out. Book's not a book without pictures. Ain't that right?
Uh-huh.
That's right. So for your brain, hemp, it says it's an antipsychotic, antidepressant, anti-anxiety, antioxidant, and a neuroprotectant, which is why our government has a patent on cannabis, the cannabinoids, not the plant. We found out it's not the synthetic version like we were discussing last week. It is the actual...
It's not the whole plant.
No, you can't... No,
you
can
patent,
patent
the whole plant. That's what I meant.
But you can patent the
right, you can patent
in it.
The piece of part pieces. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Your stomach, anti-emetic, and helps control appetite, whether you want to or need to get hungry or not. For your hands, it's an analgesic for rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. For your eyes, it's a vasorelaxant for glaucoma. So
glaucoma.
That's right, for your tissues. so for your heart, these words are really big and small. Oh, I should probably get the readers on.
Yeah.
Atherosclerosis, anti-asthmatic, prevents plaque buildup in arteries, and is an anti-inflammatory. Wow. I didn't know that it prevented plaque buildup in arteries.
So just in those ones that you named, marijuana, is there any competition for how many pills?
Oh, 400?
How many different companies?
7,000? Yeah. Yeah. So,
ouch. You just got burned by Izzy.
Izzy second. Intestines, it's an anti-prokinetic. Ah, we have people that have Crohn's and they come in and they swear within 24 to 48 hours their intestines and
you
they're unraveling. They feel...
You know what I bet would even help even more? A Big Bud juice, juicy smoothie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bud
do it all. For your legs, it stimulates new bone growth and strengthening bones affected by osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Also great for athletes.
Yeah, there you go. It's just awesome. We just love it. Don't we love our marijuana, kids?
We love
our
marijuana.
Cannabis.
We love it.
Our weed. Or whatever you want to call it. We love it. What's that?
Everybody make a heart.
Oh, your little cannabis heart. Oh, my goodness.
So here's another one.
Taylor Swift.
I do these little cartoons on Tumbleweeds at Facebook.com, THCAZ, if you're looking for us on Facebook. And it says, it shows an officer holding a man in stripes, bringing him to a guy in an office building.
An executive,
and there's burning like a synthetic
pharmaceutical company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And,
yeah. This is like empathy.
Yeah, you read. Yeah, it's kind of like.
And in the background, Cannabis Kid was about to explain the buildings that are billowing with smoke and pollution from these chemical companies.
Right.
So it says, a marijuana user is brought to face his victim.
At the Synthetic Pharmaceutical Corporation.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
my word. We're not criminals. We are not criminals.
Yeah,
we're cannabis users. That's all.
Marijuana legalized, and we see Michael Phelps back in the spotlight because he's going to be getting all those endorsements that
they dropped.
Everything he lost because of marijuana, he's going to gain so much money and everything because he's going to be all the face of marijuana.
Exactly.
Star athlete.
Gold medalist.
Yep, he is. And you can't deny that. You can't deny Weed Day Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you, everybody.
Awesome, Joe. Thank you, Kevin Gaston, for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin. It was really nice
meeting
you.
That's awesome.
We can't wait to have you on again.
Yeah, and we'll catch the 420 minute. Come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center. .com. Check it out. 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. We don't have a doctor today. We got a lot of great sales. We got physical vaporizers. Come check them out. And
botanical e-liquids. Come on down. Check that out.
Sign the initiative at Tumbleweed Health Center. 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. We're getting lots of questions on Facebook. Where can I sign it? Where can I sign it? Tumbleweed Health Center. Come on down. You can even call 520-838-4430. You can email us at chctucson@gmail.com. And now we've got everybody at Tumbleweed posting and blogging and tweeting and snapping and Insta and pinning and, they're doing all sorts of stuff. So check it out. We're all over the place. And we love you so much. Thanks for tuning in. Each Wednesday, coming up soon is pre-med testing. We went on a fabulous tour of the facility. Next week, Well, yeah. Sorry, it's in California, but we'll
come
to
we're
show.
Doing a, yeah,
we're doing
something
a live
funky.
In California show. Woo! Remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and
educate.